only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Porschebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Porschebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Porschebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Porschebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hey, what? Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
This time I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm gonna need to parachute when I get through walking these blues. When I get back to New Orleans.
We're back at the races, 15 to the top of the hour. What a nice story. I can't get over the Safi Joseph success. There's been a few other, obviously, between Maxim Security. Again, a different kind of story. But what about Tax? Tax was another one, right, that got up to win the Jim Dandy. And been a good year for claiming success and taking claimers to stake races. Tommy Proctor, looking forward to talking to Tom about the win by Caribou Club. And, Tom has won so many big races. And certainly with the Glen Hill, you think about the Glen Hill mares mostly, a lot of times on the grass going long. And this one, though, to win a DC International, when I looked it up, I said, wait a minute, has Proctor won one? And I was surprised that that Tom had not won a DC International. Another outstanding stake to add to the big collection. And the big man joins us. Tommy Proctor, good morning. Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We were at Philadelphia and was watching it. I saw them go in the gate. And the silks are so distinctive. They didn't have the audio on, but I knew right away that it was Caribou Club getting that outside stalking trip. Talk about winning a DC International.
Well, we kind of, my brother and me, we were joking, and Craig, that I don't think anybody's ever won the Laurel Paturity in the DC International. Same horse. I sure Woody hadn't.
How about that? I'll tell you what, you're gonna send us to the record books.
Well, it's funny. I think he won the Laurel Paturity. It was 5.5 on the grass. Of course, they're trying to get these races pumped up after being kind of dusty for 20 years. So, but it was just kind of funny. You kind of get a giggle out of it anyway. So.
Well, he has been good. I mean, you had a couple of different occasions. I mean, the trip to Maid Dan. I mean, do you feel that was not worth it in retrospect, or we have not
well
happy?
We the whole deal in California has kind of this horse has overcome them trying to screw them up. He definitely, there was races, and then they wouldn't run, and then They quit running down the hill. And the trip to Baydan was really because we couldn't run in California, kept canceling the racing. And, you know, it's amazing how things will make you make bad decisions sometime. And the Maydan, he'd have been fine, but I thought I was going to the desert to run on the turf, and I figured I'd get a firm turf, but hell, they watered the course for a day. It was soggy as any course I've run on over here other than the Breeders' Cup last year. So that's how that worked out.
Interesting. And it, you know, he's certainly a horse that, you know, that is versatile. You bring up the downhill course. I mean, it's 6.5, but it really plays longer. And he's a miler, essentially.
Yeah. Well, you know, last year he won the stake downhill, and you asked me if I run him in the Breeders' Cup where I'd rather run. And my plan was down the hill all year. And, yeah, you know, powers to be, I've decided after all these years that it's unsafe to run down the hill. We know what we think of those powers to be, and, you know, we'll just let that slide.
Yeah, because it's such a different equation, you know, to ask horses, you know, to sprint a sharp, you know, 5, 5.5. It's a different horse. It's a different equation.
Yeah, I mean, there's some horse. There's a, you know, one thing about it, a good sprinter can do it, and a good miler can do it. Stormy Liberal has no problem running 5/8 or 5.5. California Flag was that type that won the Breeders' Cup and could run 5/8. But it definitely puts a lot more horses in play.
Well, coming off that trip to Mountaineer where he went the mile 70 to win the Speaker's Cup, Fergal Lynch really has got to be applauded, Tom. I thought he gave it was like bumper pool. He absolutely timed the move perfectly.
Yeah, he's actually rode him good, and they've run fast together because he set the American record in that race and then set the track record in this one. Which, you know, the American record's kind of funny because it's a mile and 70. Where do they run that at? Park, yeah. Delaware, Laurel.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of. But it's still a lot of horses that run it. And he's run faster than anybody, just like a lot of horses run a mile on the turf at Laurel. So.
Now, this was really a beautiful trip. And, you know, he moved on the turn and, you know, ensnared the leader at the time, McKagan and Glorious Empire. And at the same time, if he moves earlier, he probably ends up susceptible to Frontier Market, who was running late.
Yeah, you know, the only thing is, you know, he's got the outside blinker, so he probably wasn't seeing those horses.
There you go.
You know. What impressed me about this race is I've always thought he had as good a 3/16 of a mile run as anybody in the country. And he wins a lot of races because when he makes his move, he makes it like now. And he's very handy, and he's got that little quick burst. I thought he had a bigger sustained run the other day, more like 3/8, which is unusual. And he did float a little bit at the wire, but, you know, he's only seeing the horses he went by.
Where does this leave you, Tom, with him? I mean, because is he on a par with the top turf milers in your mind?
Well, maybe we'll see.
I don't think
it's my decision because I don't think he has points to get in the Breeders' Cup, but he's also set 2 track records, and he's showed that he's a top miler. His numbers were good. You know, we'll see. He's a fast horse, and he's won 7 stakes, and, you know, you sure can't knock him.
No, so. And the earnings, you know, the earnings are careening upward. Let's see, what did he make? What did he make here?
100,000? Yeah, he's made like 670 now. You know,
yeah.
And he's run 20 times, and his record's pretty good on a firm turf, going a mile or 6.5 or mile and 1/16. He beat some pretty good horses. If you go back. So, you know, I think he deserves to run, but one thing they're not going to ask me to pick the field.
Well, and the mile always draws a big crowd.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Have you toyed, and I'm just, my PPs are a dozen lines. Have you gone any further with him distance-wise? Have you tried him a little longer?
Just a mile and a 16th.
It's not worth trying.
Well, you know, but maybe down the road, you know, you might try to go a little farther. He's a city zip, so I always thought he was a sprinter. His mother was a sprinter, miler. She went going a mile, but she also went to Ken Matty twice. But you know, maybe as he's matured now, the race the other day made me think about it a little more because he relaxed so well into a fast pace. And, you know, had a sustained run that I hadn't seen from him before.
Well, you want to talk about a sustained run of success. This is, of course, you mentioned the mother, Broken Dreams. How many times did we talk about her, Tommy, over the years of her nice career? And before her, she, of course, was a daughter of our dreamer.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, every time I run this horse, first thing in any wins and everything, I think of Mr. Lavin. And I also think, you know, he had the six dam and everything. And I think that, think of all the bad horses he fed, because each family didn't have five runners. They had one or two could run and five bad ones. So he fed a lot of bad horses.
Well, and it's funny you say that because it's a weird situation. Caribou Club was Broken Dreams' first foal, and yeah, things haven't gone as well for her since him.
Yeah, well, you know, I've got a 3-year-old now can run, but he like the family, they all tend to, you know, the knees aren't the best, and you got to kind of manage and take care of them and let them grow up. So he was the first 4-5, and then she didn't have a 4-year-old, but the 3-year-old acts like so. Well, she did have a 4-year-old, but he was slow.
that'll happen.
he might as well not existed. But you know, the 3-year-old might be okay. And then we got a yearling filly that's all right, and then we have a curling wingling that looks nice.
Nice. And who was she bred back to?
Boy, you got me there. I was pretty good. So you got me there.
Well, we'll find out. We'll find out from that's all right. We'll find out from Craig. You're under a little bit of pressure with the brother because Fly the W with Bernick's Cubs mania.
He's kind of like they are. He boasted a W, have they?
he did finish second in the debut, so we'll and you gelded him, huh? You made the decision to geld him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, you know, Tom, a couple of notes. You know, looking at the year, you've really had kind of a, I'm not going to call it a, it's not a down year, but
it's a bad year.
All right.
Like that
all
horse
right.
Winning and never could have. It hadn't rained on a drier field. Let's just be honest. It's been a bad year, but you know, we're kind of counting on some 2-year-olds, and they're being 2-year-olds. So, you know, the good thing about 2-year-olds, if you take care of them, you'll have some 3-year-olds. But it's been a bad year, and it's nice to win a race. That's the way it goes.
Well, you haven't really sent out very many starters, to be honest. Just 115 starts.
I've kind of, my stable's dwindled. I've got older, and you know how that goes. When you get older, people forget you can train a horse. But we're not going to be that old gripey guy. You know, we'll just keep hanging in there trying to win when we can.
Well, speaking of trying to win when you can, what about coming up on Friday, Three-Sided Story, a Warfront filly making her third start?
Yeah, she's a nice filly. She's, you know, she's a Warfront, which they tend to be a little, they want to come around a little later. So I'm thinking we're going to run this filly one more time, then give her a little time. I think she'll be a better 3-year-old. Her race the other day at Colonial was pretty good, kind of what I was looking for. So another step up would be good, and then get her a couple months off and have her for next year. Be pretty nice. I'd like to see her step up a little more, though, and I think she will.
Well, she's out of a Coolmore Galileo mare, and so there feels like, you know, there's some quality about her on the page anyway.
Yeah. One of the worst things I've ever said in my life is when I had marketing mix and band, I got beat by two of those Galileos. They come over from Europe, and I told Craig we had to get us a bunch of them Galileos. That was a mistake. First one we bought was out of a Stormcat mare, and he could run the rest of them. Woo. Woo. Yeah, baby. Not good. One of my dumber statements.
Everybody's got a few of those.
Yes.
I love it. Tommy, I'm just happy to get a chance to call you. And DC International, you know, one of those kinds of races that, you know, somebody like you figured to have on the resume. So,
hey, I grew up reading the Maryland Horse. And, you know, Kelso, Bald Eagle, Bow Purple, all those horses. And that means a little something to win those races. And then, you know, maybe they're not what they used to be, but it's still kind of nice to have that you won it. And it might jump back up and still, and this horse might be the start of it being a prominent race. So.
Well, and Stronach Group has been trying to do that. They've been trying to upgrade and get it back, back into, you know, the kind of position that it had for many years. I mean, it was a big target. You know, there's obviously a lot more grass racing these days, but at the time, I mean, for many years, right? It was that and the UN.
Yeah, you think about that race and the race they had at Atlantic City and stuff like that. Those were races you went for. Like I said, you know, I grew up, it was Bold Purple, Bald Eagle, Kelso, Gunboat. You know, those are the kind of horses that you remember running in this race in the 60s.
You know, you made me think of one other thing. We start talking about turf racing, and the Arlington Million comes to mind. Tom, what's your view of this situation with Arlington and the potential that there may not be an Arlington in the near future?
Well, it's pretty bad. It's been a disaster for a long time, and it just has never had to. I don't know. It's just bad, and I probably put, you know, I just don't like really what the ownership there has done. You know, they kind of got all the horsemen's backing, whether that was why the bill passed or not, to get all the slots. And then, you know, they pretty much said, well, sorry, you know, we're not going to have racing, or we're not going to have a casino that could help racing at the track. I'm not there, so I hate to say too much. Just a bad deal. It's a shame because, you know, we're looking at a place that was special to me. I've won a ton of races there, and I really liked Arlington, and even, you know, would consider having a stable there. I would have no problem because always when I raced at Arlington, was there in the summer, I always developed a good horse there because the weather's good, the surface was good, the turf's good, and I always thought when I went to Chicago, I would come out of there with a horse or two to front. And that's important when you go a place that you end up, when you leave there, you have something. And it's a shame if they don't have it. It's going to be a shame.
Well, and a lot of your, I think about a lot of your wins, Pourham, Arlington Classic, and you won the Arlington Matron with Indie Groove, and the Arlington Washington Futurity, and I mean your career, and of course being tied to Mr. Lavin and Glenn Hill and Craig, Chicago.
Yeah, a lot of years and a lot of good seasons of racing at Arlington, and like I said, we always develop some really nice horses there. And it's a shame. It really is. It's a shame. It's a, you know, we're talking about a major city that is a major market, and we're just going to let racing die. I think a lot of these people that are in play have a lot of say. I'm more qualified than any of them to do it, and I shouldn't be doing any of it. That's how I feel about it. You know, on a lot of these decision making, and it's scary. That's the problem. Very scary to watch.
Well, and people that like you, whose whole life is tied to the game, feel the same way. And one of the most alarming parts of it, Tom, is that to hear you say that and to get the sense that there's a lot of people that feel just sort of powerless to change any directions.
Yeah, I always, looked up to the horse trainers and, you think about it, the good trainers, Alan Jerkins, Charlie Whittingham. I looked up to my father. I mean, these guys were horsemen. The owners were horsemen. But what we really lost in this business are Kenny Noe, Jimmy Kilroe, Tommy Trotter, guys that ran a racetrack, guys that worked for the horses, for the horsemen, for the racetrack. We do not have those guys in play right now. Bobby Humphreys, great racing secretary. You can just go, we don't have these guys around anymore. And maybe they wouldn't be around in the way that the day is now. Just like some of those trainers would not be in play with the way the game is now, because we really don't have that many horsemen owning horses like we used to. So it's kind of sad.
Always a pleasure to have Tom Proctor on this show. And Tommy, I'm anxious to hear how much progress you've made strumming that guitar.
I'm telling you, we had a event here Friday. You got kudos to Anita Motion. They have this Real Rider Cup.
Right, yeah.
I played a few songs, but we had a band there that couldn't have been any better. I played a few songs by myself, a few with them, but it couldn't have been a nicer event. Anita Morris did a great job. The horse show was good. The riders were good. We had a bunch of young girls dancing around afterwards. It was a great deal. Guys should show up next year because I think it'll only get bigger. It was kind of a lot of fun. It was a great event, and Anita Morris should be proud. And, this was a good thing to do. So it was fun, a lot of fun.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm delighted that you went. Of course, at Fair Hill and the third year of the Real Rider Cup, we had Maggie Kimmett last week to talk about it. And I know that they raised, the last count I saw midweek, they were over, I think, 50,000, and I'm sure they raised more by Friday and into the weekend, and we'll have to give everybody the results. How about you should team up with Dale, your man Dale, and with Gio. You see that band?
I don't play dirt bands.
Ah!
I'm more of a rock and roller.
Tom Proctor, everybody, the one and only, the great one, Tommy, thanks so much.
All right, I'll talk to you down the road.
Down the road, Tom Proctor, folks, always a treat. And all right, I was trying to be nice, and I didn't want to say it's been a down year, but Tom, you don't get too many punches pulled by Tom Proctor. He's the greatest. What a treat. T Proctor Racing. If you're not following him on Twitter, you should be. He's one of our first major guests going way, way back. Take a break here. We're about, we'll be 10 minutes in to hour two. And so Johnny D will join us. Got to spend much of the weekend with Johnny. And we'll give you all the highlights, and there were so many. Larry Jones will follow. We'll talk to the big cowboy. Street bands win in the Cotillion. Larry Jones and Phillies. He's murder. How about Joe Sharp, too? We're going to get Joe Sharp in today. Joe sending out Lady TNT, who was an explosive winner in the Charlestown Oaks. And here's another horse, like Math Wizard, that was a little dirtied up, but had run races at Oaklawn over the winter that absolutely were as good as anything on the in the field. And she got away at a crazy price, Lady TNT. Hour two at the races, Sirius XM, back after this.
The latest racing news.
It's at the races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the song on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Everyone's a winner, baby, that's the truth.
It's the truth.
Baby, and for you, it's such a thrill. Everyone's a winner, baby, that's no lie.
That's no lie.
We're back at the races, coming up on 15, it's hour two. Hot chocolate on this Monday. It was a hot weekend, Saturday and Sunday in Philly. And in fact, today, when I went to see Tina every morning, asked me, what's the temperature going to be today? And when I pulled it up, I still had Philadelphia set. And 93 today in Philly after 90 yesterday and 89 on Saturday. It's like summer all over again. So you figure, Johnny, maybe get out there a little 18 holes later. Johnny D, good morning.
Hey, how are you? Nice to hear you made it home. Last time I saw you, you disappeared into a crowd off the Broad Street subway, and you and Tina were gone into the distance. So nice to know you made it home.
We did, and made it home. In fact, Leadfoot Barbie, she terrorized the New Jersey Turnpike yesterday. Pretty funny. She was like a maniac, and we were home by 10 o'clock. That was with us a stop to eat, and to watch the end of the Giant game. To watch the Jones kid, the heroics. And we almost had some of our own heroics. We certainly had heroics on the racetrack Saturday, Johnny. What a fun weekend. And this is my sixth straight, and we've turned it into a fall ritual.
Yeah, and I have a question that someone wanted to know, whether you had pull with the NFL to get the game on the same day as the Pennsylvania Derby each year, how you've managed to pull that off. Whether you had someone in the Eagles front office doing that for you. And I said, no, I think he's got someone in the NFL schedule maker's front office that's
crazy
putting this game. I know, it is unusual. It was a disheartening loss, you know, a little bit tempered by, I mean, it would have been a suicidal loss, a loss of suicidal proportions, except that they were really short-manned. There were a lot of injuries the week before, so they were a little bit short on their roster of players. The star players weren't out there yesterday, and that affects a passing team. When two of your best wide receivers are not playing in the game, one of them probably a Hall of Fame possibility. So I get that. But still, you can't allow a team to run back a kickoff, first of all, and you can't turn the ball over twice. If you lose the turnover battle 2-0, the odds of you winning the game are astronomical. And yet, here we were, blocking a field goal in the final seconds, running it all the way back down to around the 20-yard line. Of course, there was a penalty on the play, which took it back to the 50 or so, and we just couldn't get the job done from there. I mean, and normally I would say, look, good teams find a way to win those kind of games. Good teams find ways to win, like the horses. Find ways to win when things go against them. Excuse me. And that's how you know a horse is a good horse. And if you want an example of that, there's no more glaring example than if you watch Arrogate in the Dubai World Cup. That is an example of how a great horse overcomes adversity. And this wasn't an Arrogate hill to climb. This was a game that you're supposed to win. And the Eagles had a chance. Good teams block last-second field goals, but then they convert. They get the job done. They get the 3 points at minimum to send it, to send it into overtime or to get 7 points. They find ways to win those games. And the Eagles couldn't do it. Again, short man, fine. But being short man had nothing to do with a guy running back and kickoff for a touchdown. That has nothing to do with being short man. And then two turnovers, that has nothing to do with being short man. You know, you have a running back, you're supposed to hold on to the football and cross it up, and that's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you. Can't do that in the NFL. NFL games come down to 4 or 5 plays. These teams, most of them, are so evenly matched. There's so much parity that games come down to 4 or 5 plays. That's why it's so crazy when you bet on these games how the finish turns out. The game hinges 3, 4, 5 plays, and if you go back and you look at any game, you'll be able to spot those plays. Anyway, it was again, not a suicide loss, even though some people claimed it was a must-win game. I don't know how it could be a must-win game in the third week of the season. I don't quite get that one. Because by the time you get to early December, it seems like everybody's about, 7-5 or 8-4 or so. You know, everybody's kind of around the same mark and when you begin to stretch run, so. I hope that's the case this year. I think it is. I think they're a better team than Detroit, but they didn't play better than Detroit yesterday.
Yeah, we still had fun. It was a sweltering. You would have thought it was mid-July, the kind of weekend we had. And, you know, backing up through the weekend, Johnny, we want to thank Will Schwartz, of course, again, as always, for hosting us and taking Tina and I. And also picked up brunch, which there was no excuse for. In fact, I had sponsors all weekend. Now that I think about it, Tony Black took and Kylie took care of me and Tina on Saturday. You took care of us on Saturday night, and Will, I went 3 for 3.
Well, you know, it's only because you think because we like you and we enjoy your company, but that's not exactly the case. It's only because you're not the fastest draw in the West. You know, you come a little late with the cars. You know, it's like, you get the alligator ones when the bill comes. And, you know, the waitresses, they want to go home. You know, they've been there all night. They want to go home. And the check's sitting in the middle of the table, and you're just like, you look like... Al Gore going for a pass over... No, I'm just kidding. Oh, I'm just kidding, Steve. The card was on the table. I saw it. Gail and I, we enjoy you guys and love to have you come visit us. And we had a fantastic dinner at Non Solo Pasta. And it was just great. And if you're in the Philly area, it's not far from Park. So if you're at the races someday, run over there and grab some dinner. It's in, Morristown, Pennsylvania.
Morrisville.
Right, right?
Morrisville.
Morrisville.
Morristown is over by Amboin, right?
Jersey. In that Jersey, yeah. Morrisville, and not far from the track, and a great, great meal. We love it there. And then on Sunday, the brunch, again, you were a little slow. The card hit the table, but
this is unfair. I'm like the Waco kid.
We kid because we love. That's right. I'm just kidding. Will, again, he's been my friend for, I don't know, 30 years. And, it's funny because when Will picked up the check and Steve naturally tried, but Will said, no, you guys are my guests. You came to town. You know, I'm so glad to have you here. This is great. We're going to enjoy the game and everything. And then I looked at him. I said, well, do I have to pay for mine? Because you're glad that they're in from out of town. I'm here all the time. He said, no, you're okay. Will's been he's a great pal and a very generous person. And he's as diehard an Eagles fan as you. He takes these games. They hurt him. They really do. They hit him right in the gut, these losses. And he's sky high when he wins, and he takes it a little bit when they lose. So, that's what we do. We root for our teams, and it was a lot of fun. And the subway, we were fortunate. The car we were in had good air conditioning, but I saw the way some of those people were packed into those cars like cattle, and there was a lot of sweating going on in that subway.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. As Tina said, it was going to be a 2-shower day, and it was. We got home at 10 o'clock and had to get into the shower. And I tell you, I'm thinking about it. Saturday, was as well. That was a day that if ever there was going to be people, Johnny, producing excuses for not coming out, it would have been Saturday. Oh, it's going to be too hot. Oh, maximum security scratched. In the meantime, Philadelphia Park puts on a show on that day that is, on a par with any racetrack. The place was packed. They had a wonderful, backyard picnic scene going on. The building itself was full. The apron packed. They gave away hats, which is always popular, sort of like the Haskell giveaway. And then the racing, that was as good a card, top to bottom. Want to congratulate the old Wellings. and Kevin Attard, the one with Pumpkin Rumble, who came back, you know, came back home to Pennsylvania, PA bred, and that was a, you know, that was a nice performance as the favorite. The English Channel son wins the Alphabet Soup. Trace of Grace wins that Plum Pretty, and then the Open Company races paraded from there, and the maiden races were excellent.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I think Parks did a great job, and they've actually they've improved this race day. We kind of touched on this the other day, but of course we didn't have this one in the books to compare it. But they've definitely improved each of these races over the each of these presentations over the years, and they've gotten better and better and better, and they've turned it into, you know, an area event. Pennsylvania Derby Day, and to echo what you said about the picnic area, they have kind of a, I don't know if I could equate it to Mama's picnic area, but it's kind of a similar vibe where you've got a lot of families and you've got picnic tables and you've got people spreading out blankets and enjoying themselves. And in addition to that, they had some mummers there. I don't know if you got to see.
Oh, I didn't see the mummers. I love I love the mummers.
They had some of the mummers there, and then they also, they also had a band there that was really good. I heard a couple of songs. I heard them walking in, and then I wanted to go see what it, you know, what the setup was, and they were really good and playing fabulous music, and then the mummers were doing the string band, playing the. Yeah, the string bands and people were doing the mummer strut. I mean, it was a whole happening thing going on down at that far end of the grandstand at the top of the stretch where the picnic area is. And then, of course, you've got your levels of the grandstand where the main level was packed and really a good turnout. The paddock was crowded. It was four or five deep around the paddock. It was a great day, and I think. I think a lot of people were taking advantage of the weather. Instead of the weather actually driving them away, I think it actually helped because it was such a beautiful, nice, sunny day. It was a little warm, but not, I mean, warm for September. But it was really nice. It was really nice. And it was good to see that it was difficult to park on the racetrack side of things for the first time instead of on the casino side of things. Where usually you can't park, but on the racetrack side, you usually can park easily. But that wasn't the case Saturday, so that was great. That was great.
A couple of race notes, and coming out of this, I don't know. I when it comes to the fillies, let's start there. I suppose Dunbar Road. We have to now wait for her, for her performance next. But, you know, what did that do to the, the 3-year-old filly scene? And then, of course, for the boys' race, I just put up the Thoroughgraphs because I want the people who say, oh, this was an impossible result, and how do you come up with that horse? You look at those Thoroughgraph sheets; the whole field was separated by two lengths. And all five had healthy patterns coming in, as it happens. And that was not some, crazy result. And, of course, Street Band, thinking about it now and thinking about, Johnny, how Dave Grenig, Scully and DeRosa and Nick Tamaro all just lauded Street Band's chance in here, with the speed and then the way the race unfolded. What's your take on the last major 3-year-old route opportunities of the year?
Yeah, well, as far as as far as the fillies, looking at the race going into it, I think the pace kind of developed the way you thought it might with Jaywalk going from the outside and Sarah-Ganny Empress from the inside. I mean, if you're Jaywalk's connections, you've got to go. You've got no choice. You're out in the 11 hole. You've got to go. And once you get her running, she's not gonna slow down. And Serengeti Empress, she's got one way to go. So the pace, as you said, handicapping the race, and that's kind of the way it developed. And the question was, obviously, Garana, how good did you think Garon? How good do you think Garon is? That's really the handicapping decision I think that you had to make. And could she come from off the pace like she did, you know, in the Acorn? Could she sit the trip? Well, yeah, she could sit the trip, but apparently she wasn't quite seasoned enough to get the job done against an up and coming filly like Street Band. And, you know, I mean, Street Band had the credentials. It's not like, you know, it's not like it was a major upset. And, I mean, the Sophie Doyle factor may have bothered some horse players. She's probably worth, even though she's ridden this filly well in the past, she's an unknown rider as far as the national stage goes. You know, she's probably worth a point or two in odds because people just don't know her. But she gave this, she rode it. She rode this filly like she owned her. I mean, she just let her lag back, and the hot pace developed up front, and Garana wasn't quite up to the task, and Street Band lagged and moved up, not around everyone, but moved up like split horses as she started to gain on the field, then swung wide, and was going fast in the lane. That's the only way that you can describe it. She was lengthening her stride when the others, you know, had enough, and Garana was just not capable of quickening at that point. She was fast. That's the bottom line. And she really, you know, as I say, was not a shock, a mild surprise. But if you look at her credentials, she fits. We'll take a closer look at the, you know, when they were, I mean, you know, now she's going to probably go to the Breeders' Cup and give that a shot. Let's see where it shakes out before we talk too much about the division picture, because this was a little bit of a surprise. the only other one maybe worth mentioning, Bellafina. You know, Bellafina, Jaywalk especially, because she was the two-year-old Philly champ. She just didn't seem to progress at three. She just didn't seem to get, you know, that much faster, that much better at three, and that sometimes happens. You never know how or if it's going to happen. And in her case, you kind of got a glimpse of it when she came back in the Devona Dale at a really short price, 20 cents to the dollar, and just didn't fire. You're kind of at that point, you kind of go up and you say, well, wait a minute here. Is this the case of a two turning three who just hasn't made that progressive step? And you always want to look for that. And by the same token, at this time of the year, you want to look for some late developers who maybe are getting good, to switch over to the boys race, like a Mr. Money, getting good at this time of year. Who didn't have a sterling two-year-old career. We'll talk about the winner later, but, you know, someone who's kind of come into their own now and wasn't around as a two-year-old. So you get these different, you have to take age and development into consideration when you're handicapping. Excuse me. So I think that's about it for the Philly race. Unless, I mean, you got the hot pace early, you got the closer winning, I think that race made sense. In the Pennsylvania Derby, here we go again. Now, there was a winning horse. Was it last weekend? I mean, I don't know why I can't remember these things now. Didn't somebody win at a huge price last weekend, and we're making the case for saying how they shouldn't have been that price. They should have been 15-1 instead of 30-1.
El Tormenta in the Woodbine Mile.
Yes, exactly. Okay, El Tormenta. So here's another case where you have a horse winning at a massive price that really didn't deserve to be that price. You're talking about a six-horse field with a maiden. This horse did not deserve to be 30-1. 6-1 on the revised morning line. And run representative races, not you wouldn't say this horse should be favored or anything like that, but representative racing against the fact that Mr. Money had beaten Math Wizard the last two times they met certainly was a big handicapping factor. That would push Math Wizard to the middle of the class, certainly, but not the rear end of the class, of the field. I think what happened in here is Mr. Money took a massive amount of money. He was the favorite early on, and through much of the wagering, he was favored over Improbable. And in Improbable, we had a horse with gait issues who won a four-horse race at Del Mar in the summer. He certainly had great credentials, fast enough, the horse to be, but not, rock solid. 30-1 on Math Wizard was just got away. And he got lost in the shuffle. You have War of Will, the Preakness winner, who took some money. This horse just nobody. I mean, I looking back, I can't say I would like this horse, but not 30-1. 30-1 is too big a price. And this happens all the time. Horses get lost in the wagering.
But they shouldn't. The thing that's funny about this is this was essentially a five-horse field because, of course, the maiden was a joke. So it's a five-horse field. And granted, he's going to be most likely the fifth choice, but there was no reason for him to be 31-1 and spun to run 15-2, 7.5-1. And they were, I used them both as, I did something so stupid, I was embarrassed for myself. I used both of them as C's, and I had a backup ticket, and I don't ask me why Street Band was a B when she should have been an A. It was just unbelievable. I don't know what I thought I was saving, money wise, going 2x2x3x2. And it's just idiotic. I could have 2x2x6x2. It's unbelievable. Yeah, for $900, it was what the pick four paid. I was nauseous. Pays for the weekend. But anyway.
You know what? Well, actually, the way your weekend went, you would have gone home. It wouldn't have paid for anything because you didn't need to pay for anything. But that's beside the point. I let look the kid because we love. Remember that. Now, your point about making a mistake and feeling bad and all that, it is unusual. And you really should feel bad because horse players never make mistakes like that. You're the first horse player to ever make that mistake. Come on, man. That's part of the game.
What's funny is when you've got a small, and we talk about how to bet small fields, and I used the one and spun to run together, as C's, and because I thought they absolutely had chances to win. And for instance, I mean only Landeskog and King Jack, they were the only two horses you needed as A's in the Gallant Bob. Nobody else was winning that race. And then Cole Front and I personally was sort of thinking, Golden Brown had maybe an upset chance, so I used him and I went 2x2 by three. I had my heart set for some reason on Horologist, and she ran great. John Mazza and the ownership team should be thrilled. They get a grade one placing with Horologist, but she followed up her Monmouth Oaks and ran a courageous race to be third in there, behind Guarana and Street Band. But I was a little myopic on that, and I only had Street Band as a B. It was incredibly dumb because I absolutely thought Spun to Run or Math Wizard could upset, and I wanted to be in position if they did, and for some reason, to save $12. I mean, it's the dumbest thing ever.
As smart and as sharp as you were to believe that Spun to Run and Math Wizard you know, had puncher's chances in here. So you put him on the ticket. As smart as you were to do that is how foolish you were on the other end.
It's just ridiculous.
And that's what makes these pick fours, pick fives, that's what makes them hard. You've got to be correct in six races or five races or four. It's difficult. It really is. But you're right. You are pretty foolish.
what does this win do? What does this do now to that 3-year-old picture? And you know, there's going to be. I mean, we felt bad certainly for the West that Maximum Security colicked to the extent that he did, and frankly was lucky not to have to be operated on. But you know, he can't be the beneficiary of staying in the clubhouse. Ad infinitum.
Good point. However, well, so far he is. He wasn't in the Travers, though. His lead took a hit in the Travers. Should winning the Travers Code of Honor, that put a ding in Maximum Security. Excuse me. What Code of Honor does is going to decide Maximum Security's fate. If Code of Honor runs well and Jockey Club and then the Breeders' Cup, if they go that route, whatever Code of Honor does, that's going to tell the story, I think, in my opinion. Because this race really did have an effect on it. Because, you know, Improbable, who had he won by five, the dominating effort, he might have jumped into the mix. War of Will with the Preakness under his belt, if he had won by two or three, certainly, he would have been in the talk. Mr. Money, if he'd have continued his run, winning his fifth in a row, they all had the opportunity, and they all fumbled, much like the Eagles on Sunday. They fumbled it away. They had their chance, and now that chance is gone. Maximum Security, by being sick, you say, how long can it last just staying in the clubhouse? So far, he dodged another bullet. But that Code of Honor is a big bullet. It's a big bullet there, because that horse looks like he's coming to not only his own, but somebody else's own, too. I mean, he won the Travers very nicely, and what he does is going to decide, I think. Because if you go in with a resume of winning the second half of the season, that's going to be enough, I think, to overtake the disputed winner of the first half of the season. So that's what I believe happened in this division.
Well, we'll wait for the Jockey Club Gold Cup and Code of Honor and Tacitus. Tacitus is a funny. Tacitus is a funny. He's a funny case. What if Tacitus wins the Jockey Club Gold Cup and the Classic? What do we do then? What happens then? How's he not champion?
If any 3-year-old wins the Jockey Club Gold Cup and the Classic,
they're going to be champion. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, that's you know, without a doubt. And I think even if Code of Honor wins the Jockey Club Gold Cup and doesn't win the Classic, it's going to get very tight, and he might win. Because Travers, Jockey Club, Gold Cup are pretty good, and the rest of his resume is not bad. It's not great, but it's not bad. Against Maximum Security, who, you know, he got beat at Mammoth in the comeback race, and then he won the Haskell. The Derby is, for some people, look, for me, he's the Derby winner. So I'll go to my grave knowing he was the Derby winner. Did he foul? Yes. Were any of those horses going to beat him? No. So in my mind, he's the Derby winner. Country House, to me, is not that Derby winner, even though officially he is. So that's the first half. You can take the second half away. But I think Code of Honor is the only one left. If some other 3-year-old, let's throw this out there, which I don't even know who else would be running in there, But if some other three-year-old were to win the Breeders' Cup Classic, besides Pastor or Code of Honor, would that be enough? Maybe. I don't know who that would be. But, you know, that's just a thought. So I think Code of Honor is the only one. Or Cassidy, as you mentioned, if he were to pull off that double. You know, people are waiting for the light to go on with Cassidy. This is your opportunity to bet him, because I have completely had enough of Cassidy. So now's your chance. Once I get off the horse, they have to win. It's in the rules.
Johnny, what else?
What else
did you come away from?
I got a couple other items. I know you hate to hear this, but the Gulfstream Rainbow Six. This is for the listeners. It's not for you. Forget about it. You're out. $1.8 million carryover this week. You got it. You know, look, I know.
For what?
I know all about it. I know all about it. But this is a chance for a little guy to play with little money. Not to have a single ticket, but the big guys are going to be chasing it. If you get pick six winners, it's 20 cents a pop. You can do pretty well if you should pick six winners. That's all I'm saying. The mandatory payout, by the way, is going to be Sunday.
It is on Sunday?
So,
all right.
Yeah, that's what I read.
All right.
And I don't read too well, but that's what I read.
All Sunday. Right.
So if that's the case, and the $1.8 million gets to grow a little bit this week, it could be, you know, 2 point something.
Yeah, 2.5.
I know you don't want to – look, don't talk to me about it. It wasn't for
no, play, no, it was for play, it, play it when play it when play it when they're going to distribute it on Sunday.
Okay.
The bigger opportunity is the Stronach 5 carryover.
Now
you're talking.
The $107,000 carryover.
Yeah.
Stronach 5, which we all know is on Friday. And Santa Anita will be back in the picture.
Oh, good point.
That's
stake races, too. There's stake races on Friday. So maybe they'll be super quality. Yeah, this could be a nice sequence.
Yeah. So that's going to attract a lot of interest on Friday. And then on Sunday, you've got the mandatory payout of the Gulfstream Rainbow Six. And then the other note I had was the three-year-old picture, and we talked about that. So I've pretty much had enough of you for the next month now, with the weekend and now today.
Outstanding. I want to see what I could have sworn I saw. Yeah, the American Pharoah and the Chandelier and the Eddie D on opening day Friday at Santa Anita. I see that the Blood Horse stake schedule, which is what I print out, they haven't gotten the memo about the downhill course. Are they going to change the name of the Eddie D? Because the Eddie D was 6.5. We're going to change it to some sprinter who was good at 5 furlongs.
Eddie D was good at any distance.
There you go. Exactly.
What a fabulous rider to watch. What a great guy. One of the members of an outstanding jockey's room. Just class from top to bottom. I was like a wing of the Hall of Fame when Eddie D was there in that jock's room. And it was such a pleasure to be a member of the media for part of the time. And then in my various other jobs at Santa Anita, to be around Eddie D was just an absolute pleasure.
Well, in addition, since jockeys on the West Coast came up, I want to mention, I really should reach out to Tony Matos. Tony's got the 7-pound apprentice that people have been watching this year out there, the son of Juan Carlos Diaz from Puerto Rico. This J.C. Diaz Jr.?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you watched him? This kid can ride. This kid's going to be, this is, you know, he came out of the same school as Manny Franco and the Ortizes and, you know, same pedigree. And his father, his father's arguably the greatest Puerto Rican jock in Puerto Rico history, J.C. Diaz.
Well, I saw Tony Mathis this summer. My breached in at Del Mar, and I bumped into Tony and had a great conversation with him. And, of course, he's a fantastic jockey's agent. He's been around for decades, handled Angel Cordero, I believe, which gives you some idea how long Tony's been hustling book. Pink Eye, he's had so many great riders over the years. And Tony Mathis is from Puerto Rico, so his connections are deep there. And let's just put it this way. He doesn't follow any empty wagon. If Tony brings a rider here who's an apprentice from Puerto Rico, you know he can ride. So, yes, and I've watched him, and he can ride, and we'll get to see him more. And what's funny is, this has been a history kind of thing. California racing has never been a big bug rider place. It's never, if you're a bug rider who did well in California, you can ride because the trainers aren't really concerned about weight that much. Perhaps I don't know why. I don't know why the East Coast is really the place. If you look at all the top bug riders over the years, very few, over the decades, very few, Clips Award winners, whatever, very few have come from the West Coast. The majority have come from the East Coast. I don't know if that's because of the proximity of racetracks. You can ride, you know, you can ride two tracks a day. When you're a bug rider, you can win a bunch of races. But California horsemen just never really, or very rarely, I should say, embrace the bug. So if you see a bug rider get hot, and you see him start to appear on, you know, 4 or 5 mounts a day, especially in this climate of shortened fields and less races, pick your head up, because that means horsemen have recognized that the kid can ride, and they'll bring some prize horses for you.
Well, he rode that horse was it on Friday? That again, we were driving down, and that's the beauty of I'm going to milk this eye, boy, as long as I can. And so Tina's driving down, and I saw that nightcap at Los Al on Friday, and an older maiden, you know, not a 2-year-old maiden, but Baffert sent out Speed Pass, and put the kid on. Put Diaz on, and I think it's the first time I've noticed that that Baffert used him. But he's riding a lot for Val Brinkerhoff. Pretty much everything Brinkerhoff is getting the 7 pounds. He had a mount this week for Dave Hoffman. I'm just looking at Dave Hoffman's, Dean Peterson, Jeff Metz, Sal Gonzalez, Charlie Treese, Peter Miller, Hector Palmer, and Craig DeLazzi all used them this past week. So this kid can ride.
The temperature in the room changes when we move from Los Al back to the big house at Santa Anita. The temperature in the room changes. It's tougher to get mounts. While a guy will ride you at Los Alamitos, he might not ride you at Santa Anita when his selections become a little more varied. So, you know, let's keep an eye on him. Let's watch the kid. Who's riding him at Santa Anita? How much in demand he is there. And that'll tell the story.
Johnny D, Eddie D, Bad D, bad defense, you name it. Johnny, thanks so much. It was another wonderful Philly weekend, the doubleheader that we now have come to expect and just enjoy so much. Thank you.
Well, all I can say is it's always a pleasure to see Tina.
Exactly. Exactly. That's one thing Johnny and Andy Serling agree on. We're going to take a break. Larry Jones is going to join us next. And I know some people were hoping earlier in the fall or late summer, they'd get Sophie Doyle. We'll get Sophie Doyle on this week, too. Want to get Sophie. But Larry, first, to talk about Street Band and another filly in the long line of Larry Jones, Oaks quality, Oaks-esque runners. It's astounding what he's what he's done. Not that he isn't as effective with Colts and geldings, but my God, it's crazy. Street Band, Cotillion, Larry Jones joins us after this. Then Joe Sharp, who also sent out an Oaks winner, maybe unbeknownst to some. Another horse that was an overlay. Back after this. At the Races continues a little more than an hour on this Monday weekend recap.